Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're watching and listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. Today, our very special guest is Poppy. Poppy is a personal friend of mine who's had a lifetime of experiences, ET experiences. She's also been a targeted individual. She's had a variety of experiences, and so we're going to have her website information, mayanmissions.com, up on our website and our dedicated YouTube channel. And without any further ado, Poppy, welcome to the Cosmic Switchboard Show.
Thanks, James. Nice to be here.
Poppy, give a bit of a background so our listeners get an idea of who you are and how you came to this realization. And along the way, as you came into the realization of who you are, the fact that you had all these different gifts and the fact that, you know, there are certain powers that be or want to be that don't seem to be appreciative of people with these gifts, so to speak. So please, at your leisure.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'll start off from my earliest memories in this lifetime. I have plenty of memories of other lifetimes too, but with this lifetime, I'm not going to go too much into my family history, but just to say that some very traumatic things happened to me when I was a very small child and a baby. And they were very traumatizing. So what happened was that my gift of sight opened when I was a very young child, out of needing to be able to see and feel what was around me and in my field. So I was aware of things in other dimensions, and I've always seen energy, which translates into a reading disability, because I see energy at the same time as I see everything else. And so when things are not in resonance, I cannot actually comprehend or read because it's all distorted and moving all over the page. And yeah, which has actually sort of become a guidance system as well. So I grew up very, very different, in a very traditional family with very traditional values, being actually what I like to call the rainbow sheep of the family. So I perceived everything differently from a very, very young age. And my parents didn't perceive it that way. So I was often told that's just not how it is and you're too sensitive. And so I had a lot of doubt. And because there was a lot of things that happened that were quite traumatic for a young child to endure, I became very fragmented and broken. Not in my body, not able to control certain bodily functions, which was very embarrassing and hard to live with. As a child, bullied a lot at school, always different, always just trying to find my way. But I found solace in nature. So I spent a lot of time in nature as a child. I just loved to watch the clouds. I actually felt that the wind was communicating with me and telling me that everything was okay, that I was going to make it. So I actually felt encouraged and nurtured by nature, most of all. We had a cat when I was a girl who I felt that I was in telepathy with. So I used to just send it, tell it all my problems, and it would just, you know, smooch and cuddle me. And it was, I do believe that it was a telepathic connection that I had with that cat. So I had no trust in humans most of my life. It took me a long time to start to trust, and I'm still working on that. I love humans. I love humanity. I know who we are. I know our co-creative ability. Well, I know the beginnings of it because I'm sure it's expanding the more that I become aware. So my life has taken me on a long journey with many experiences. I had, you know, because of my awareness and seeing into other realms, and I had a memory of being just a young girl, probably 6 or 7, and having Bugs Bunny come and visit me in my bedroom, and being absolutely terrified. And I found out later that there are mind control programs that are associated with Disney. You know, they'll come like a djinn that will be dressed up as something that they think that you're going to be attracted to or interact with. But because I'd had so much going on in those realms in my field, and I was just not trusting of anything, so I would just scream and bang on my parents' door. So I had a lot of nightmares and a lot of night terrors, and well, pretty much, I suppose you could call it PTSD. Well, not into labels, but yeah, it's sort of been with me all my life. And I find a lot more peace and solace now, but I've had to work incredibly hard to get to that point. Yeah, so my life has been all about healing.
When you began to perceive these other dimensions and other realities as a young girl, what were some of the memories you have? And as a young girl, through a young girl's eyes, what were the sensations and the feelings and the perceptions like?
Well, for me, it was absolutely terrifying. Children talk about monsters. If they ever talk about monsters, I think we should take them seriously.
Yeah.
And we should know how to be able to address the monsters. And, I mean, that's what a child will call it. You know, they come, they take all sorts of terrifying shapes and forms, reptilian beings, you know, big long pointy teeth, things that are telling you they want to kill you, threatening your life, pinning you on the bed, moving. You know, you can feel the blankets move, you're aware of the presences that are in the room. So it was always terrifying for me at night, and I would just wake up incredibly, needing to go to the bathroom, incredibly disorientated, just not able to function. And then I'd be in trouble because, of course, a little child with such terror is going to wake the bed, you know. So, you know, and that's a reality. I think, you know, it's a sign of distress. And I had many signs of distress, and it happened at school too, but they were never addressed. They were never looked at. As I was growing up, I was just punished. And the punishment just exacerbated the whole thing. So I was very timid and very untrusting of people. School was a nightmare for me. I just couldn't wait to get back home from school and go and play with the snails in the creek.
The negative entities had manifested at a, you know, seemingly early age for you. Were there times when there was almost what seemed to be like a countervailing force? Did you have experiences with what some would have perceived to be pleasant or at least benign, neutral beings? Or, you know, some people talk about it. It was nothing like that that you can
remember. No, I think not at night times. Like, night times for me were terrifying. But in the day, I think playing in nature, I was probably more aware of the energy that was in nature and feeling a communion with nature, like feeling like there were fairies and feeling like beings around that loved me and cared for me. And feel, especially I think the wind really spoke to me. So I used to feel very nurtured by the wind and the sun, and yeah, and lying on the grass and the smell of the grass, and you know, just twirling away in the meadow. And so that would be probably where I did feel the sense of oneness or love. And I was pretty messed up. So yeah, that they were times. And you know, I was in a family where I had to really pretend that I was happy. My mum I know that she would have endured things in her life that she's never talked about. And it's taken me a long time to come to terms with things that have happened in the family and through the family. I'll say this much, that my grandfather was a nuclear physicist in the south of England, close to the Rothschild estate. He worked in a hospital doing nuclear research and radiotherapy during the war. So that's just telling in itself. And I know that he did carry a lot of guilt for Hiroshima and Nagasaki. I know my mum went and to Hiroshima and felt that she had to go. And I also went to Hiroshima. My daughter will correct me. She lived in Japan. That we both went and we gifted some organite, which we made for healing there because of things that would have come down the family line. So there's things in my family line. So I know that my mother's mother taught at a school that was on the Rothschild estate, and you don't have to know too much more about the Rothschilds to know what happens with those kind of interactions, but I wasn't immune myself. So these are the memories that I have that my family don't have, and I do love and care for them. And you know that you can easily be called psychiatrically disturbed by saying these kinds of things, that they're all a figment of your imagination and all these kinds of things. So I guess I was sought after. I would have been sought after to get with the program. And because of my senses being probably heightened from the very things that probably wanted to get me, I don't think they could get in as much. But I did go to sleep for a few years, trying to do all the normal things that I thought were normal, trying to conform. And I just got very sick and very unwell and very overweight and very suicidal often and just not wanting to live and not wanting to be here. And that was what really started my quest for healing, like how do I heal? Especially when I had two daughters myself and I just wanted to live for them. Not for myself at that stage. I didn't have enough care or self-love for myself. I was still very broken and fragmented for many years. I was on antidepressants for many years, which didn't help. You know, they cloud up the pineal gland and they chopped away my ability to see for a while. And then I got to a point where I just realized if I'm going to take any more medication, any more drugs, I was a high user of pharmaceutical drugs, I was going to kill myself. So I had a revelation that I just got to stop everything. And so I did that with the assistance of a naturopath to come off all that those drugs slowly. And I kind of had a spiritual awakening that would have been in my 30s. Well, actually, I don't even like to use the word spiritual because we're all spiritual. We all breathe.
Yeah.
So I had an awakening to myself. I started to awaken to myself, and I started to see again, started to perceive, started to become aware of my psychic nature. I found it quite overwhelming for a while, but there were friends that came along during that time. I was in a marriage. I was a pastor's wife at the time. So I was searching for answers through a church. It wasn't a healthy marriage at all. I mean, often if we've had traumas as a child, we go into situations where the same things come up. It's kind of like an attempt to heal, as I see it. So I kind of got myself in a situation again where he had an addiction, and when he went and followed after his addiction, I was getting basically raped by spirits and entities and beings, and it was that terror. And you know, you could lock all the doors, you could lock all the windows, but you couldn't stop that from happening. And I was too scared to tell anybody for a long time. I guess I was fearful I was just going to end up in a psychiatric unit. So yeah, I worked in admin for a while. I was a good administrator, working for the New Zealand government for a little while. And that changed into, other Crown research and all that sort of stuff. And then I just felt that I needed to follow something else. And I had started having counselling, and I thought, well, I'll become a counsellor. So that's when I started looking at healing. And it was an inroad. When I came out of my marriage and out of the church during that time, got off all my medications, and started to get fit. I was very overweight. And I, for my research project, I decided I was going to go and interview people from special forces to find out how people heal when they can't use the talking therapy. Knowing that when people are in special forces, they are not allowed to talk about their missions. And that was what, again, started to open my eyes to what was going on.
So was this New Zealand SAS, people like that?
No, I actually went to Arizona.
Oh, you went to like American Special Forces, people like that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I was communicating with someone I had met on the internet, and he said he would help me find interviews. So I was supposed to have about four interviews, but I got two interviews. And that was okay. It was enough to do my research project. And, you know, I did it all within the guidelines. But I had revelations that while I was interviewing, but also staying with this person, that there was a whole lot of things he was trying to say. And I just started to read between the lines at everything that he wasn't saying.
Mm.
And then I started to see a bigger picture. I started to see, you know, when 9/11 happened, I was so gullible that I thought it was a true thing, what the news media reported. And, you know, and then you see people that are sort of working in aerospace, and they're kind of connected with all of this, and they're pumping out this message. And then I start reading between the lines, and it's like, that's when I started to sort of wake up a little bit to what's going on. At the end of my counselling degree, I had what I'll call a breakthrough, because a breakdown means that you break down and you don't get up again, but I came through because I realised that counselling wasn't going to heal. You know, you can talk and talk and talk until the cows come home, but you can't access cellular memory, and you can't, you can come a certain way, you can remember, like bring some fragments together, but most of the things that would happen to me were in my unconscious memory. Like some of them were so painful and so traumatic that they were buried. Like I was only starting to have memories of sexual abuse in my 30s and having counselling for that, and then realising it wasn't actually taking me that far. It wasn't really healing me, and I felt that I had to keep staying in this and telling my story, and that I was supposed to feel angry and I was supposed to feel all of these things. But you know, I was never taught, well, actually, these things have happened. I need to take responsibility for how I'm feeling and what I'm going, and to be able to access deep into all of that cellular memory and be able to transform it from within. So, I mean, I ask a lot of questions fervently. And whatever looks after me, I tend to call it Source. As I don't like the resonance of the word God. You might as well say dog, God. It sounds the same to me. And I don't want to offend anyone, because I know it's very special to a lot of people. But for me, there isn't actually even a word. But I know that there's a force, and even if it's my multidimensional selves that are really taking care of me, gone ahead of myself, to make a way for myself to do my purpose here. So I then met someone who introduced me to more mind-body therapies, breath work, People might have heard of The Journey by Brandon Bays, which I started to do. So this was about being able to access cellular memory. So these came in handy for later down the line. And this partner and I, we started to develop health retreats for people with depression, anxiety, some addictions, just one-to-one health retreats. And that's what we started to bring together. So we did that with mind-body therapies, and we brought in a lot of therapists that did massage and things like acupuncture, reflexology, herbalists, naturopaths. So we started to sort of bring in a group of people that would actually be able to support the guests that came with what they're doing. And we had a life coaching program. So I was taught by a life coach from Melbourne, actually, who used to be a naturopath, but started to get into the emotional links to disease, including depression and anxiety. So he taught me, and I actually just took to it like a duck to water, really. So this is what we used to start to offer. And then decided, like, okay, so there came three people in my family had had cancer. My father had had kidney cancer, and he had had lung cancer, which reversed. My mother had had breast cancer. My sister had breast cancer. So I was actually really keen to find out, how do people heal from cancer naturally? Because I was very aware of the medical system and how I was in a downward spiral with them, with all that pharmaceutical medication that I had, and that it created a lot of health issues in my body. And it took a lot to reverse all of that naturally. So I've been working on that all my life since then, and I still do. So what happened was, we started to write a website, a web page for that. So that was for people that wanted to explore natural alternatives to healing cancer. And that was meant, you know, as a facilitator, you bring in all of these other therapists to, and you make, you know, you make a way from them. And like, I'm very intuitive, and my partner was also very intuitive. And so this is how you would bring it together. And of course, some watchdog came in, saw the page, and wrote to the Advertising Standards Authority in New Zealand. Now, the Advertising Standards Authority, we found out, is just a big boys club. I'll say that, and it's a patriarchy club, which just like to monitor things and control things to keep everything within the status quo, like the medical system for, you know, ours. So this watchdog wrote in, and they decided that we had made false claims. So because I'd made a statement in there that had said that it was the immune system that heals cancer, which I thought everybody knew. And so they put three kind of charges against us. And one was making false claims. Another one was social irresponsibility. And I can't remember what the third one was. They withdrew.
The same people that poison the world with their pharmaceuticals and all their false claims, they have the gall to do this.
Yes. Yes, they did that. And so my partner at the time, he said, well, who are you, you know, and what authority do you have? And they just said, they were their own organization. And, you know, we hadn't broken any laws. There was nothing. And they said, look, here's our codes. You have to comply with these codes. So I thought, okay. So I rewrote that page, decided we're not going there. We're not going to go and touch that area. But anyway, I supported it. I supported it with good research that I had been looking at anyway. And made a very powerful page that people could look at, and also ask for an honest reporter, believing at the time, so gullible as I, that there could be an honest reporter. Anyway, they said to us, well, you can appeal our judgments. And we said, well, we've got a clear conscience. We're not going to appeal it. So within an hour of writing that email, we were in all the newspapers, the Otago Daily Times and
see how coordinated it is, right? Where we're instantly, suddenly, the entire apparatus of the wretched system comes down because of one person who says something, right, which radically conflicts with their wretched agenda, with their agenda basically making people sick and die prematurely, right?
Yes.
And so someone comes along, and many people have experienced this in America, elsewhere, real viable cures, let's just use the five-letter word, cures, and then they just, you know, it raises their hackles because it undermines their whole depopulation agenda, which is what it amounts to.
Yeah,
and I guess I imagine you found that out along the way, that that's where all this was leading to.
Yeah, well, I guess it was part of my waking up process, you know. So anyway, you know, like what happened next was I was looking at Google Analytics and suddenly there was all this traffic and I could see the New Zealand Herald was on there. And sure enough, they rang a few days later and I had a phone interview. And I thought, wow, that was a great interview. I'm really happy with that interview. And then they wanted to know who the watchdog was that had reported us. And I spoke to my partner. He said, no, don't give it to them. No way, don't give it to them. And so I went with that and I said, sorry, I'm not going to give it to you. And because they actually slipped his details to us. They weren't supposed to, but we got all his address details. They came to us. And anyway, so we didn't, and then they wrote their article, and I suddenly realised how propaganda works, because it was like they took took everything out, they twisted words, they turned it all around, made us look like demon children, basically, and it went into the front page, great big photo that they stole off the website, and it went all out to the whole of New Zealand. And then someone from the Skeptics Society in Australia got hold of it.
Of course.
Relabeled it, let's get rid of the shonks. Oh, no, getting rid of the shonks. That's a death threat, really. And put it in the pharmaceutical magazines. So suddenly we had all of this traffic from
And just to refresh my memory, hold that thought. What was the particular modality and what was a particular natural form of healing that created this uproar in the first place?
Well, it was just the website to bring, you mean, yeah, it was just a website that we had. So we were going to do... exploring the emotional cause of the disease, which you're not allowed to mention. You're not allowed to talk about that. And then we were going to bring in the different therapists, and they were all ran scared, basically, at the time. So I'm not mentioning any names, but there were some amazing therapists that were having really good, you know, people were healing of cancer.
Oh, I see. What they saw was this, like, agglomeration of all these different naturopaths, people with different backgrounds, healing modalities, perspectives, coming together to explain, to basically undermine their whole fraudulent scam system. So they saw that as a mortal threat, I guess.
Yeah, they saw us as a threat to whatever they did. We kept it private, which therapists came to the retreat center. You know, because they had their own practices and everything, and they just came with agreements, and that was all by private arrangement. So it looked like it was me and my partner, but you know, we, as a facilitator, you put the program together, bring in people in, you know, we had someone that looked at all the different elements, so what would be the right diet for that person. Because everybody's unique and different, you know, Gerson therapy does not actually suit everybody. it's actually developed for an O blood type. So there's a lot of nightshades in there, like potatoes and tomatoes and things like that, which are no good for an A blood type, for example. So it's actually finding the right nutrition, the right practices, and all of these sorts of things. So anyway, after that, we did have retreats booked. And in those days, we didn't get deposits. We didn't need to. People came. They came to the retreats that they booked, and it all flowed. But they all fell away. So we were left with a huge rent, and no one coming anymore. So basically, that was April 2010. We became homeless, and I've been homeless ever since. And financially stricken. They come in, and everywhere will come in, the IRD, which is the same as the IRS of America, so that Inland Revenue Department will come in and try and get in. They tried bankruptcy with my partner, but they couldn't actually bankrupt him, because that's actually something that has to be done with, it's actually voluntary. And so he never complied, so they couldn't actually do that. It was sort of like held in stalemate. When all of this happened, I started to write a website, which was called relatingtolife.com. And it was all about how courts work. It was about the banking system. It was about geoengineering. It was about colonization. So there was a lot about the whole colonization agenda of New Zealand, being, you know, one of the most recently colonized countries. How they do that, how do they come in, and how do they use their black magic spells, basically legislation, to bind people and to take over their birthright and control or govern. And so I had some pretty powerful stuff on that website. There was quite a few people that contributed to that. And in the end, I mean, it was up for quite a while. My partner used to be an advocate. He used to help different people that were going through different court cases. You know, someone we met was doing awesome, awesome work, getting children back with families when the government had split those families up for no good reason. He was found slumped over his computer, having had a heart attack. We knew what happened. He was healthy and fit. There was no reason for him to be killed. He was, you know, but you know, what can you do? What can you say?
How long ago was this?
Gosh. It was a few years back now. But you know, these are the things that get people running in fear. So many natural health workers have had that. You know, there's so many people. I've just lost a dear friend. I'm not going to mention names because people will be grieving right now. But there was foul play. He was an activist. He did a lot for health. He stopped the TPPA in New Zealand. You know, he did a lot of really good work. And he was left homeless, and his lifestyle was interfered with. They've been after me. I have had to stay one step ahead of the game to stay alive. And, you know, they do it in such a way that I could just sound like a crazy person if I start talking about it. But why would there be 2,4,5-T in my hair analysis, you know, which was the causative pollutant of cancer that I had later? And many things. Well, you know, I've been struck to the floor with frequencies and just about passed out. I've had gin jumping on me. I've had all kinds of interference, not only in the 3D, but when we were, you know, like when we were being pursued by lawyers that were like one particular thing, they were trying to bankrupt my ex-partner. And we were house-sitting at a place. And, sure enough, that night, long floating through the air, I see a face, you know, in that realm. Oh, okay, coming towards my partner. So, right, I shoo it off and go back to sleep. The cats are all reacting. There were cats sleeping on the bed that night. And then about, I don't know, must have been an hour or two later, comes back again, and I see a face. And I shoo it off. And then the next day, they were trying to serve him papers, and we were trying to stay under the radar. And so they tried to serve papers through email. Anyway, I looked up who was trying to serve these papers. Sure enough, the face that I saw that night was the lawyer that was trying to serve the papers. So this is what they do behind the scenes in their black magic realm.
There's That's all exactly kind of black what it's magic. Like. That's exactly what happens.
Yeah. So I actually started, and when I was doing a lot of work on Maori sovereignty, and I was living in a home, a lot of people were coming back and forwards. 3 o'clock in the morning, you could guarantee someone's there, someone's in the room, they're looking at you, you know. You see their faces, you see them, and, you know, you shoo them off. And you come in, and, you know, I'd just be sitting there, and I'd just close my eyes, and I'd see all of these beings with closed eyes, ghoulish looking things, you know, you'd see reptilian beings, I'd just see these beings all around, and at that time, it wasn't long after I was working on the Maori sovereignty stuff that I found out that I had cancer myself. I was quite malnourished at the time, just wasn't able to get adequate food just by being homeless for so long. Like, oh, sorry, I try not to cry, but it's been really, really hard.
Yeah, and thank you for your courage, and thank you for sharing this, because this is happening to real people like yourself. There's a lot of people out there that consider themselves activists. Oh, I forwarded a post. I forwarded 93 posts on Facebook today. I argued with 12 other people on Facebook because I disagreed with them, and they think they're a truther or an activist, when it's people like you standing in the gap, people like you at the spear point, who are actually making changes, and actually, you know, in many ways, they were reacting to you. That actually shows your power in all this.
Yeah, well, it sort of felt like I had no choice, really. You know, either I was going to lie down and just get steamrolled by the system, or I could stand up and, you know, do what I could to be true to myself. I feel that I came with this lifetime with a purpose to create conscious awareness and to find the ways that all of us can break through. And I do believe that we can, and we may see it in this lifetime. It's up to human consciousness. It's up to us how we do that. You know, so many people are waiting for some, you know, alien to come and save them, or some savior or something, but it's actually up to us, ourselves, as I see it. Ascension to me is simply raising our frequency, and it's an inside job, and we do it ourselves. That's how I see it. And so now I like to try to empower people and inspire people that they can. Yeah, so it's, you know, it's been a huge, huge process of detoxifying my body, healing all my fears. And this is the gift of my journey, is that I've been able to heal fears. And heal fears to the point now, I'm not saying that I'm fearless yet, but this is what we've got to do. We've just got to heal all our fear. And this is what my journey has been about. I feel fortunate that I can see into the other dimensions, and I can see what was happening, and I can take care of things from a higher timeless dimension and bring that energy back down and change things down here. And I believe that we all can. And this is what is so important about know thyself.
Yes.
If that's one of the, you know, I believe we're here to learn and grow. And to make the most of the human experience. So many people deny their humanity. You know, I'm a Pleiadian, I'm Lyran, Syrian. And that's all great. Yeah, it's all good to know.
I feel like, you know, I feel like telling me, yeah, pal, you're in the wrong star system, okay? They start telling me these things, that they forget the importance of being in embodiment. Okay, I've lived in these other star systems. I've lived in these higher dimensions. But here I am in physical embodiment. in this earthly plane to do a job. I'm not going to shirk that responsibility. I'm not going to say, oh, woe is me. I should be off in the Sirius system right now, you know. It's like that's the biggest cop-out, and I hear that constantly. Yeah. It's just a lot of whining. Yeah. And one thing that's like a commonality amongst a lot of people that go through these kinds of challenges is that they go through cycles sometimes, and sometimes it's rather like constant of interference from different quarters. And the beauty of what you've shared, Poppy, is that when you see, like, for example, the face of the lawyer coming after you in you know, this other realm and then bleeding into our realm, it underscores the fact that there is a nether dimensional aspect to all this. So many of these people, these truthers, these activists, it's the reason they're always behind the eight ball, the reason they're always in such a negative frame of mind is because they only see the outward manifestations of all this, the banking cartel, yeah. the false flag terrorism, the endless lies of the mainstream media. And so they can't see, they can't peer beyond the veil. And if they had that ability like you do, it would be like, oh, that's how they're doing all this. And so it's a frequency war. It's we have to be embodied, but at the same time, anchor and pull in these higher dimensions of knowledge and understanding, and that buffers us, that makes us stronger. We plug in more to organic source, but no, what they do, they go on to InfoWars, more bad news. They just get so densified. I don't even like to be around these people anymore.
Yeah, and they're so into technology, and, you know, like, they're not connecting with the earth, they're not connecting with nature, they're not connecting with the sun. It's like they're losing that sense of reality, or they're living in another reality, which is kind of this artificial, it's another artificial construct. I mean, we're all really living in an artificial construct. Money is an artificial thing. And, you know, like, actually, our direct source of nourishment is the earth and the sun and nature.
Yes.
But all of these things have got in between, and they've been used as a control mechanism and a control system. And this is where our consciousness has to expand, whereas I'm very, very into the Mayan rhythms. So the Mayan rhythms are natural rhythms of time. It's time as art. Whereas the Gregorian calendar is a commercial calendar, so it carries the energy of commerce.
Yes.
And so while we're Tuesdaying, Mondaying, and being weak and earning, you know, we're holding that energy. You know, earn, that's a dead thing. A week, why are we weak? You know,
yes.
Moon day, Saturn day, you know.
Thursday, Thursday, which, you know, some can interpret as Enki or something. So every Thursday is Enki day. And so I'd like you to elaborate on that, Poppy, because that's a key aspect. What's been described to me and some of my colleagues as a flat field time effect, that these archons, the Anunnaki, call them what you will, all cut from the same cloth as far as I'm concerned, they've managed to put us, at least, you know, up to the recent past and going backward in time, into this flat field time effect that's kind of linear, where it's like there's no up, there's no down, there's no backwards, there's forwards. We're just kind of stuck on this loop kind of thing. And that was a big part of what the Gregorian calendar was all about. It takes us out of our natural rhythms. Did you want to elaborate on that?
Yeah, well, it was Pope Gregory was the one, you know, so that's the papal system. but, you know, Pope Gregory is, he created the commercial calendar. It's all out of time. So it's 12 months, you know, we have 13 moons. We have 13 moons in a year, and oh gosh, what where was I going with that? Yeah. So, and each day has a rhythm, a natural rhythm. So each moon, you know, like at the moment we're in the rhythmic moon of equality. That's a little bit more empowering than December. You know, during the rhythmic moon of equality, we have the opportunity to be with the rhythm of nature, to bring equality, to recognize equality, to live it. So there's all of these different things. Like today is the day of Blue Hand. It's a gateway day, which where we can be focused on our personal healing and the healing of our hands and planetary healing. So our focus would be on planetary healing. Now, there's nothing in that in commerce. It's just make more money and pay the IMF and give it to the cabal and, you know, and compete. And, you know, that's the trapping. That is the holding. So if we were giving our time and our energy to natural rhythms, like yesterday was a day that they call it the White Whale Bridger, that's where we have the opportunity to die to what doesn't serve us and open ourselves to opportunity of what can come and make our lives better. So every day brings an energy, and we're not, you know, like when Indigenous people, they all have their different calendars or their different records of time. So Native American people, they'll be looking at the directions. They're looking at, this is just flowered. That means we've got to do this. This is talking to me. The hawk has just come in and given me this message. And you know, nature is the wisdom and the intelligence.
Yes, it's more dynamic. It's more spontaneous. It's creative instead of confined and restrictive.
Yeah, and nature is used to heal. You know, we've gone into a whole area where everything's legislated and we're not even allowed to use plants to heal ourselves. Now, there's some amazing plants around which expand our consciousness. You know, the Indigenous people often use them as rites of passage. And it's like, right now you're coming into maturity. Take this sacred plant medicine. We'll support you in your shamanic journey, and their eyes are opened and they will realize their purpose and they will know the way forward and be given guidance and connected with the spirit of that plant, because every plant has a spirit. And we're taught that everything is just food, or that actually everything has a spirit, everything has a life force. And everything that I see in this commercial calendar and this disharmonic matrix of time is deathist. It all leads to death.
Yes, and a denigration and a marginalization of the human condition and the condition of all the flora and fauna of the world and the planet itself. Everything is death. Everything is disillusion. Everything is fragmentation instead of unification.
Yes.
One thing I've also noticed, you know, just to make a point, is by putting us in this flat field time effect, by creating this impression that everything is under these rigid time constraints, we're running out of time. So many people complain about running out of money before they run out of month because of this currency system, because of this time, Saturn time kind of syndrome. People's vision is radically shrunk, where a lot of people can only see to the next paycheck, the next fortnight, right? They lack the vision to see beyond that, because, you know, trading hours for dollars, this money trap, it circumscribes their whole vision, everything, their dreams, their visions, where they see themselves in 5 years, where they see themselves and their family in 10 years. It's all been obliterated. Everything has been reduced to this, like, Econotus subsistence living kind of syndrome, right? Like a mouse or a rodent in a maze is trying to find that, you know, little chunk of cheese, and it's under stress and et cetera, et cetera.
Yep. Survival of the fittest.
Now, you know, could you tell us a bit also about, because you went through the targeted person aspect of, you know, life experience. So do you regard that as being part and parcel of what all these different forces were doing to you because of the website you had, the naturopathy and working with other people of the same mindset? Or was that something that kind of, you know, it was a progression from childhood and the unfortunate abuse you'd suffered?
Well, yeah, I think I was targeted even the womb.
Yeah, many people are, actually.
I know, look, I do a lot of regression work and I've done a lot of breath work. So I have memory of my conception even. And I have memory of hitting this denseness. And my memory of being in the womb was as if I was in a lead blanket. I couldn't feel my mother. I felt totally isolated. My birth was traumatic. I was born very quickly and it was, and, you know, separated from my mother immediately, as they did. And, you know, they cut the cord, which gives us the belief system, there's never enough. They do that before we've, you know, got all the blood from the placenta that we need.
Yeah.
So birthing.
Even before the baby takes his or her first breath, snip,
yep.
And it's gasping for air. Yeah. Then they wonder, oh.
And held up by the feet.
Held up by the feet. Everything about it is Saturnian, Luciferian. Everything is like an inversion of what nature is like, right?
Yeah, totally traumatic. I mean, you just imagine that little baby spine curled around like that, and then whoa.
Yeah.
Whack, you know, and blinding lights and getting fed on the hour, you know, the hour that you were allowed to back then. All of these things. And then, you know, it created a traumatic pattern. So, of course, our psyche is still going to keep attracting that in order to heal. So the different forms of abuse, and my family not even aware of that, and I do not hold any blame or responsibility for them in that. So if they were to hear this, I'd want them to know that, and that I would be for them if they do ever have a memory, if they do start to realize anything that I have. So really, really nasty stuff happening as a baby. Let's just say I could not feel my genitals from a very young age because it was what happened in that area of my body was so traumatic that I was disconnected.
Hmm.
Okay, so, and it's taken me years and years and years to heal that. I don't see that I've had a really good, healthy relationship with a human in that way yet. And I may not, and that's okay. I would like to, but that's my journey, my progression, or whatever. I'm certainly not on the look. it comes down to, you know, I've done masses and masses and masses of work, and I'm very grateful for people like Stone Hobbit who helped me through some things.
Yes, remarkable lady. And
she's a remarkable lady. Absolutely remarkable and very in tune with what frequency is. I'm very grateful for people like her, who've actually been through these things and love and care about humanity. And I think that is the miracle, that in spite of all that's happened, we can still love and we can care. So I think the targeting, it's probably happened all my life, but I've been more aware, you know, when it's blatant, like being harassed and set up and chased by government authorities. I was set up in an airport, for goodness sake. Fortunately, I'd had a healing session with a good practitioner and I had a vision before it happened. And the vision was opening the curtain in The Wizard of Oz and just seeing the puppet master.
Mm.
And anything. My partner and I went out to talk to someone who was pretending that his wife needed to come and do a retreat for anxiety. I'd already had an intuition that this guy was dangerous and I wasn't all that keen, but my partner took me into it. So anyway, we went in and we sat. We were in the airport. And he had his computer on all the time. Strange. Okay, so he's probably recording everything. And prior to that, I'd been talking about, I'm sorry, it's a little bit of background to it. On a forum, my partner and I had been talking about MMS, and that's called, it's chlorine dioxide, it's a hyperoxygenation thing, and how how maybe this could be good for decalcifying the pineal gland, things like that, and detoxing. And anyway, trolls came on and started to argue, and I'm pretty good at finding research and just firing it up there and firing up there and firing up there. And then they suddenly stuck up the propaganda article that the New Zealand Herald had put up and said, oh, naughty, naughty people. So I knew that they were connected to this airport incident. And not at the time, but more in hindsight. So anyway, that was all happening. And they interviewed, and the guy had changed his story too. So I could see that he wasn't genuine. And then we saw some friends. So we went to talk to these friends that were in the airport, which was kind of funny because they had actually set up people to try to serve papers on my ex-partner. And so we were holding up. This guy said he had a plane, but he never got on one. Anyway, we finished talking with the friends. I went to the ladies' room and I come out and I find my partner rushing up to security saying, help. And some guys had tried to force papers on him. So we knew about the system and he was like, I'm not that person. And I started to get my phone out to start filming it. And the guy was, he was cursing at Peter. And Peter went up to the security people and said, these guys are calling me an effing this and an effing that, And the security people said to him, we won't have this language in our airport, and started to, turn it on to him. Anyway, the guy saw me filming and he said, Poppy, it's something along the lines of it's illegal to film in this place. And I don't know where it came from. I just said, according to who? And I kind of walked
there. They go try to invoke their law again,
So he called me Poppy. Now that's not my legal name. I don't use my legal name except when I have to. And Poppy is my last name. So, and everyone calls me Poppy. So I knew that they had got that name off the website where I got called that. And anyway, we go out and we hop in our car and I don't know, we were just both cracking up laughing, but we got followed by the police all the way back to the house that we were at. Well, just about. We decided that we were going to turn off a road that wasn't ours and see if they still followed us. So we went down a road that wasn't ours. This is going down rural roads out of the city. And anyway, and then the police did a U-turn and they took off. And then we went back and we went back to our house sit. And then after that, that's when I started to see the vision of the lawyer who was trying to get these papers served,
So that's what they tried to do at the airport. They tried to serve you these papers. You rejected.
Well, they tried to serve. Well, the guy did the interview and then they tried to serve him.
Hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Because we couldn't pay credit cards and we'd suddenly tuned on and switched on to that, what the fraud they were. And there was enough outstanding money that they thought they could bankrupt him. They just try to take you out in every single way that you can. For me, I know that it was through health, and for him, financial. Health is what was more dear to me, and finances were probably what was more dear to him in some ways. I mean, he's been a good man, and he helped me a heck of a lot. And we stayed together for a lot longer than we should have for survival. We weren't good for each other in the end. After I did the etheric implant removal process with Lynn, I was able to see things a lot more, Lynn Williams, I was able to see things a lot more clearly as to what was what. And, I did other healing work and I started to realise what my purpose and mission was more about. And so I was in Malaysia at the time. We were doing a house sit in Malaysia and did some crystal gifting with these powerful little seed crystals. When you do them, what I found is if you've got anything left in your ego, it's going to get worked on. And I left my partner the next day, which meant that I had to start life. Our way of doing things together, which had sustained us, had gone. So when I came back to New Zealand in June, I came back with no money, no home. I had a car. I couldn't buy groceries because the battery was dead and I had to get that replaced. I was living on faith, going out praying in light language every day, which is one thing that I use. It's a frequency thing. Light language is a frequency. So it's something that I do a lot daily. I like to do it with the sun. I have a connection with the sun going back and forwards. These are just things that I found for myself. I'm drawn to energy. I'm drawn to frequency. So I had to go back into the system. So I decided I was going to go back in there consciously, being aware of the other dimensions and being able to start clearing. So my clearing work got bigger and bigger and bigger, dealing with more of the iconic realm. You know, the way I see it is, if you come in into fear in my field, well, you can go to source.
Yes.
And we'll deal with you. And so I do. I've been in trouble here and there since. Everything keeps learning me, keeps teaching me. So everything that happens to me is teaching me. I have to stay a step ahead of the game. I learned a lot from doing some crystal grid work on the South North Korean border. I prepared by meditating a lot. That was from Malaysia that I went. So I spent hours and hours in meditation, feeling and looking, meeting the guardians of the land, getting permission to do the work, getting the support to do the work, only from the highest sources, which I believe are all part of our multidimensional selves somehow. It all works, you know, like it all comes back to us. We are response able. So I saw some scenarios that could have happened, and I know I'm closely watched and remote viewed. Anyway, I was given the dates, just 3 days to get in there and get out and do the grid work. I used a pendulum to douse where I was going to stay. I ended up staying with the most absolutely supportive family that took me to the northernmost point of South Korea by the river.
Along the demilitarized zone, so-called, the 38th parallel.
Yeah, it was very peaceful. It was actually very peaceful along there. I found it very peaceful. And in Mount Kukan, which is like the sacred mountain that the City of Seoul is built on, and the Buddhist temple. And I meditated in the Buddhist temple. It was lovely, beautiful energy, enjoyed the energy. So they helped me to do that grid work and gave me healing. And so I was incredibly well supported, got back to Malaysia. There's two big cloud ships in the sky, which I tuned into and heard that they were there protecting me. And I feel that they are my lion people family. So I know how wonderfully protected I am by higher dimensional selves, beings, whatever it is. I can't define it adequately. Because I don't hang out, because I've got a reading disability, I can't read a lot. And because I've been internet restricted for a long, long time, I've only had myself to look at. And so I got away from the mob mentality of the internet and Facebook, and just went into myself and started to tune into myself and what's going on, and found it to be more reliable and more empowering than listening to all these things that people want you to constantly look at, which most of it is rubbish. I'm sorry, but I actually find most of it. There are some good things that I do resonate with, but and some things I'm meant to see and hear, but my guidance system decides there, nothing else. So when I got back from Korea, I was remote viewed. So I see people when they're remote viewing me. I see people when they skywalk and dreamwalk. I've seen you as family. And they were women that were remote viewing me, Korean women, and they seemed quite happy with what had happened. So that was nice. Whereas a lot of the remote viewing you know, I just say, I see you. I can see you. Yeah. And yeah. So it happens a lot.
Well, we've reached the end of the first half, and thank you for sharing that. I've got so much more I want to ask you about, you know, clearing the archontic realms, because that was something that you wanted to talk about. Could you tell our listening audience and our viewing audience where they could find you online and how they can contact you, Poppy?
Yeah, I've got a website, mayanmissions.com. So that's mayanmissions.com. And I do teach the etheric implant removal process, which I'll talk a little bit from my perspective in the next hour. Life coaching. You can find out more about who you are through the Mayan rhythms of the day that you were born on. Yeah, and I like to make organite because that helps the energy here for the earth, and being telepathic with the earth, she likes it. She's told me she likes it.
Well, we've reached the end of the first half with our special guest, Poppy. If you like what we do, if you believe in what we do, please go to thecosmicswitchboard.com, sign up and become a member, and we'll see you at the top of the next hour.